You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. See, you guys didn't know if you'd hear that again. We kind of just left you on a cliffhanger at the end of the season, but Coach Sarah and I are back. I've got a ton of messages from all of you asking if the pod's still going to be here, if we're going to keep rocking. I've got a bunch of messages from all of you showing love to Coach Sir and the expertise he's bringing. So guess what? You're stuck with us. We're here. It's the NBA offseason. The draft happened. Free agency, we are recording this at 7:31 p.m. on the 30th of June. NBA free agency begins at midnight, I believe. Your time?
Our time, 6 yeah. p.m.
Yeah, 6 p.m. your time. Eastern time. Midnight my time. Yep.
Yes.
And then maybe some moves, but we wanted to recap the NBA draft before we get, you know, some of the free agency things talks about, because there's not a lot of free agent money out there. There's not a lot of big name free agents. There might be some trades. There have been some trades, which we'll get to in the next episode. But Coach Sir, are you ready to break down the NBA draft?
Let's go, Mo.
Well, let's start at the very top. The most obvious number one pick since Victor Wembanyama is Cooper Flagg for the Dallas Mavericks, who lucked their way into the top of the lottery. It's interesting. If Josh Giddey never hit that half-court game winner against the LA Lakers, the Bulls, if the odds went the same way, obviously it's a butterfly effect, but the Bulls would have ended up with the number one pick. But instead, Dallas found their way to capture the flag. And what do you like most about his kick? Because everyone talks about how talented he is, but let's break down some of the specifics.
Well, let me say, he's going to be the most impactful player that we've had drafted, I think, number one, since LeBron.
Wow.
Which is like
yeah. in terms of immediately coming
yeah, in. Yeah, I mean, like, Victor Wembanyama, in my opinion, has been for what people projected, I mean, I remember people 2 years ago at this time saying, the best player ever to be drafted in the NBA. Man, they forgot real quick. They forgot about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. They forgot about all kinds of guys. But let me tell you something. As a number one pick, Victor has not brought his team to the playoffs once.
Not yet.
Not once.
Not yet.
Not once.
Not yet.
No, it's very disappointing.
He had an injury, shut him down for the season.
Yeah, well, that's disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you get injured, you know. And so, you know, he has been a disappointment to me. His talent is immense. He has no post-up, no inside game. Zero. And so, you know, he's not going to be a dominating inside player. He's got a 3-point game. And now what they're doing is they're putting small forwards on him because to take away his 3-point game and he can't post anyone up. So he's got a lot of work to do. Terrific talent, legitimately 7'4" minimum.
Amazing defender.
Absolutely the best part of his game so far. Absolutely the best part. I thought 2 years ago he really should have been, A, he should have been an all-star, but B, he should have been defensive player of the year. I mean, from the defensive end, he has been extraordinary. But the two things I judge players by is, can they make their team more effective? Can they make their team a winning team? It's a lot to put on a guy, but that's why they become, there's no doubt that Cooper Flagg, in my opinion, will make his team better. Okay, now he's going to a better team. And he's got better surrounding people. But even though this guy is even younger than Victor was, I think he's more impactful. His game is more polished. And I think this is what we're going to see. I think this guy is totally a positionless player. And by that, we mean to our fans in the UK and throughout Europe, is he's a player that really, he's not a point guard. He's not a two guard, small forward. You just put him on the basketball court. He can play.
And he can defend as well.
The only thing he's not is a center.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's positionless. But he makes winning plays. He can pass the ball. He can defend. He rebounds. He blocks shots. He can score. He does everything, but he doesn't have only one, which a lot of guys have. He's got multiples. So, but I think the best part about him is I think the kid's really a born leader. And he's just one of those players that plays with great humility. And I think he just fits into any team in the league and he's going to help them become better. So I have very high expectations. That's why this was a one-person draft, not even a two-person draft. It was a one-person draft.
I like the way you give such a detailed explanation. When people ask me about Cooper Flagg, I say he's the coldest American white boy since Larry Bird. That's how I break it down for them.
Except Larry, he would talk shit to you all the time. Cooper doesn't say shit. You know, but
he's a nice Larry, kid. He's a nice
you
kid.
Know, and they always say nowadays, you know, all these shows, they say, oh, the Mount Rushmore, which for people over in Europe don't even worry what the hell that is, some bullshit mountain out in South Dakota. It's like, who are the four or five best players ever in the NBA? They forget that there was anyone before the last 15 years. And all I know is Larry Bird, Magic Johnson came in the league the same year I did. And those are two of the baddest son of a bitches I ever coached against. And Larry Bird is so good. There was no way to stop him. There was no way to stop Magic. And there was no way to stop Michael. Those were bad guys. I mean, they were. So any generation, those are superstars.
Absolutely. Well, the Spurs are hoping they picked a future superstar at number two in Dylan Harper. Interestingly, I think if they knew they were going to get the number two overall pick, they wouldn't have pulled the trigger on that trade for De'Aaron Fox, which, in hindsight, could have made life a little bit easier for our friends over in Sacramento. However, they ended up with Dylan Harper. What do you make of the pick overall, coach?
It's funny. I coached against his dad, Ron, a lot over his career. Almost his entire career, I coached against him that he was in. And his dad was a fabulous player, a great teammate.
Five-time champion.
And when he went to the Bulls, he really, really became a terrific player. But the kid, he's got Ron had great athleticism and stuff like that. Dylan, though, might be a better all-round player. He can really put the ball on the floor. Ron came in the league as a scorer. He ended up a point guard, but never really a point guard handler like BJ was, or guys like that. He was just kind of brought the ball up the court occasionally. In the Bulls' two-guard offense, really Pippen was the point guard. But he was an excellent player, great team player. Dylan's really got some talent. I think he can be a high-level scorer. I think the reason that the Spurs are excited by him is that I think they're seeing what OKC has done, is that they've done it with a lot of perimeter players that can drive the ball and get other players' shots. And so I think they look about De'Aaron Fox, Stephen Castle, and Dylan Harper is guys that can really, really make plays, and they're going to try to build their team. They have to somehow get a big man.
Yeah,
That's what they have to do.
do you think now De'Aaron Fox is more expendable to this roster, seeing as you've
No,
got the Rookie of the Year and you've got
no, they're
Harper?
not. No, he's not going to be. He's overpriced, but he's
Yeah,
not
because then that's
expendable.
what you can use to go and get the big man that you want.
No, I think what we're going to see happening with with this. And I want to really make sure that you have no listeners for the next show is that we talk about the first and second apron. But basically, it's a form of an additional salary cap for our teams. And right now, I think you're going to see the way contracts are written in the NBA. We're already seeing it where the contracts are going to go down. Down. So De'Aaron Fox might be a $51 million player. I think instead, when he gets extended, I think he's going to get extended downwards.
Oh, wow.
I think he'll become a $40 million player. Okay, I think this is what the trend is going to become because you cannot keep building a team and increasing salaries. So I think
Absolutely.
this, yeah. So I think we're seeing this. We saw this when we talk tomorrow on our contracts and free agent signings. You're going to see a team like Minnesota that extended two great players at very, very, very good contracts for the team.
Yeah, Naz Reid and
More
Julius Randle.
terrific contracts, but fair contracts.
Yeah.
But fair
Yeah.
contracts. And I
Well,
think we're going to see more of that.
talking about contracts, there's a team in Philadelphia paying max money to a bunch of guys who can't get on the court, but their number three overall pick in VJ Edgecombe is a player who you can't take off the court. The kid loves basketball, high motor, high energy, insane athlete. I'm really annoyed as someone who's not a fan of the Sixers that they managed to pick up this kid because I think he has so much potential.
He is a wonderful player, and if you've ever spent time like I have in the Bahamas, which is
No,
just an
I'm not that rich
incredible,
yet, coach.
well,
Not that rich
no,
yet.
yeah, I'll get you in there. I'll get you in there. I'll take your passport with me, and it is just one of the most beautiful places in the world. And the only thing more beautiful than the beaches and the water in the Bahamas are the people.
The people
I
are
know a few, I know a few
no, the
people from
people
the
are wonderful. The
Bahamas.
people are wonderful. And I don't mean the people, the rich people coming in. I mean the native people that are from there. They are fabulous folks, and this is one of them.
The
This
lady's
kid,
beautiful.
as athletic as you've seen come into the league, I think he could be a prime time defender. I think he'll be so exciting. I think they have the most exciting backcourt athletically in the league.
Yeah,
And Maxey,
Maxi.
who's one of my favorite players, I love Maxey. I could watch him play every game, and I think VJ and him together, incredible, absolutely incredible.
And they've
The
got
old
McCain
guys
as
better
well.
learn to keep up with him.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. They've got McCain as well and Quinnen Grimes, who they might lose in free agency.
And that would be a shame because he's better than McCain in
Yeah.
a big way.
McCain's
The,
still second coming into his second year in the league. He barely played
yeah,
last
and he
year.
got hurt, and but he's at a level way below these guys. A nice player, a third guard, fourth guard, but
It's just more that he's on his rookie contract and Grimes is reportedly wanting 25 million a year. That's what it
well,
comes down to.
he's really a good player. He's really a good player. And I think tonight we'll see Grimes's contract being where contracts are going to go. And I think that's what we'll see for tomorrow's show.
What do you think of Con Kanupul, who went to the Charlotte Hornets at number four? Because a lot of people see him, and because of what he looks like, they think, oh, he's just going to be a Duncan Robinson type player that comes in and shoot threes. But I think he can be a little bit more than that.
Well, yeah, first of all, he's 18 years old, and the guy is strong. He's tough. He comes from a great basketball family. He is as good a shooter as you see come into the league. But the thing about him is, Mo, being a basketball player like yourself, a lot of the athletes that come into the league, VJ and guys like that we're talking about, they're what we call 1 foot jumpers. They jump off 1 foot. I coached a player, Dominique Wilkins, who is a 2 foot jumper. And Knappel plays off of both feet. Jalen Brunson plays off of both feet. That means that those guys are always in control of their pivot feet and what they're doing. And this guy is just a hard-nosed player. For a guy that's a freshman in college, the guy can really guard. He knows how to play a game. He made everyone around him better. I think he's a very good player, but I think really a good player with LaMelo Ball, if he's ever healthy, makes their team. They went out and got some real shooters to surround LaMelo Ball with so that they can really become a spread the court out and really shoot the three ball. Which is
Absolutely.
Charles Lee, the head coach, was on the staff, as you know,
Yep.
of the Boston Celtics, when they won the championship. So that's why I think it's important he's starting to put his fingerprints on this team as a coach.
Yep. One of my favorite executives in the league is Danny Ainge, obviously for everything he did in Boston, but also a bold move on draft night. He picked Ace Bailey at number five, despite Ace Bailey saying that he doesn't want to play in Utah, he wants to play in Washington or New Orleans. Danny picked him anyway, and then there was a whole issue with he's not come to Utah right after the draft like all the other players. He eventually made it there. But I like this move from Danny Ainge because Ace is a talented scorer. He has a few kind of issues that might need to be worked out, but I like the kid's potential.
Well, Ace Bailey is a guy that everyone thought, could be 1, 2 in the draft last year as a high school player. He never, just to clarify, he never came out and said he didn't want to play in Utah. He just didn't want say where he wanted to play, but he didn't go visit any team
Yeah,
in the
no
NBA.
interviews, no
So
workouts.
it was very poorly handled by his people. And as I like to say, this is not college or normal employment where you get to go pick where you want to work or pick where you want to go to college. This is when we become not a democracy in the country, in the NFL and the NBA and Major League Baseball draft. We tell you where you're going. And the rights of you are owned by that team. And there was no way he was never going to play there because all they have to do to maintain his rights forever is to just tender him a contract by Labor Day, September, and they own the rights to him forever.
You can't play for anyone else.
And so he can't play for anyone else. So, I think it was unfortunate, but I think he's going to be a really good player there. I think, he's got a real chance.
Someday we might find out his rationale, but it's flawed, whatever it is. But hopefully he'll go and play good there. He'll find out that every player that has played in the Salt Lake City and for the Utah Jazz has absolutely loved it there. It is a great, great place to live in our country. High quality of life, maybe the best owner in the league, in
Oh,
Ryan
wow.
Smith. Yeah,
Well, he has the
superstar.
chance to be the star of the team as well now. So, it's
Well,
ended
he
up
has a chance to
being.
be a really good player. I think they have some other guy. I think Lauri Markkanen's a terrific player, but I think he has a chance to be a really good player. But I know one thing: you don't win with stars. You win with
A great
five good
team.
players, and they went from basically the last record almost in the league. They need a lot of good players, so I think he's one way towards there.
Trey Johnson went to the Washington Wizards at number six. What do you make about that? Because
Great shooter,
they made some
great,
roster
great.
moves getting rid of Jordan Poole, and we'll talk about that tomorrow, but
Yeah,
go ahead.
absolutely great shooter. The management with the Wizards, they're doing a great job. They've got a long leash to run on, and they're building up for next year. They were hoping to get the first pick in the draft, obviously with Cooper. That speeds up your progression. They didn't do it. They immediately went to plan B, and plan B was get another good player in Trey. But then we'll talk about tomorrow acquiring players. They have $110 million in cap space next year,
One of
which
the
will
only
be
teams.
the only team in the league. So they will really be in position if there's any good free agents out there. But if they're not, they can acquire contracts of very good players. So they're really being well run right now, and they got themselves a cornerstone player in Trey Johnson, a young kid that can flat out score the ball.
Absolutely. I'm excited about Washington. I think they've got a few great young players that not a lot of people have watched the Wizards last season, but they've got some great young players. I'm a big fan of Bilal
Yeah.
Coulibaly and a bunch of the other guys on the roster. So we're going to see what happens with that. At number seven, the New Orleans Pelicans got maybe the coolest NBA jersey out right now. Jeremiah Fears, who has the number zero fear on the court. I might have to go get myself one of them. But what do you make of that pick for the Pels?
Fears is an incredible thing. He like Cooper Flagg, were the two youngest kids in college basketball this year. They both entered playing college basketball as 17-year-olds, and it's not like playing in a Premier League as a 17-year-old, but it's playing in a really, really good league as a 17-year-old, and they both excelled. Both kids were supposed to be high school seniors this year, which is marvelous. This guy's got so much talent. I always say that rarely does the first player become the best player in that draft class. Michael Jordan was third, and Steph Curry was seventh. Karl Malone was 13th. Joe Dumars and BJ Armstrong were 18. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. John Stockton, the great passer, was 16. So you have all throughout the history of the league, the best player's not the one that's drafted number one all the time. This kid could be the best player someday in this draft class.
That's a huge statement. I heard one quote from him, and he said, "Whoever drafts me, you're getting a dog. All I want to do is go out there and destroy my opponents." And when I heard him say that, I thought, from what I know about Joe Dumars, I thought, yeah, he's going to be a Pelican on draft
Yeah,
night
no,
because that
that was
mentality
a
and that culture they're trying to build.
Joe thought he was going to win the draft, win the lottery, and have Cooper, here. But unfortunately, when you do, and he fell all the way to seventh, and he ends up with Fears. It's a great first pick for Joe.
Absolutely, absolutely. Number eight, though, the Brooklyn Nets fans were not too happy with Igor Demin from Russia, who played at BYU. Great passer, but other than the passing, there's a lot of development that needs to go into his game, especially in shooting the basketball.
What you learn about pro basketball and team sports is there's a lot of ways to build a team. And Igor, I think, he's a Russian kid, played out there. I love his game because he's just one of the best passers, and he's 6 foot 8 as a point guard. But some teams might start by saying, I'm going to start with Kaman Malowicz, get a 7 foot one center to anchor my defense. But that would be probably the way I might have picked, personally. But it doesn't matter what the hell I think. But everyone has their own idea. I know that you win in this league with point guards. That's how you really win, with really great guard play. I don't think he's of the Isaiah Thomas category of great guard play, but I think he's a good guard. The coach, I think you have to, I want to mention my friend Jordi Fernandez. He's from Spain, coached the Canadian Olympic team. He's one of the very best coaches in the league that no one knows about. He is a spectacular coach, and their whole draft was built on international players. You know why? He feels really comfortable in coaching international players. God bless him.
They were
Yeah,
super
God bless
international
him.
with this draft.
Yeah, big
I
draft
respect
for
it.
them, and I respect it too.
The another team that wanted to go down the international route for a brief period in the 2000s was the Toronto Raptors. And in Masai Ujiri's final act, he drafted Colin Murray-Boyles at number nine. Widely received as a good pick in terms of picking maybe the most talented available player. However, the fit on that team, how do you like that?
Well, I think Bobby Webster, their GM, made the pick. I don't think Masai made it.
Yeah, I was just
But
trying to be
yeah,
nice about him getting fired.
that
You
was
know what
very
I
nice
mean?
of you. I love Masai, and he'll be running a team soon, within the next year. But I think, again, I think I've saw Colin Murray-Boyles play a lot this year. I think he's really a good player. But again, I'm going to build my team up. Personally, I'm going for the big. I'm going for someone that's a shot blocker. The league's getting bigger. The league's playing now. Most teams are going to two centers on their roster that can really play. I think you got to start with, if you don't have the best scorers in the league, you better be able to defend. And so personally, I would have gone that route. I'm not sure what identity they're trying to figure out up there. They have a very good coach, my friend Darko, great Serbian coach. But again, a lot of times in our league, the head coaches don't have as much input. It's the front office that selects players. The coaches coach the players they select. It's very divided, the way it is. He's a very good player. But I was a little surprised he went that high.
Well, speaking of the bigs, at number 10, Kaman Malawak. He was drafted by Houston but will be a player for the Phoenix Suns because of the Kevin Durant trade. Fascinating
Sure.
story, out of South Sudan. In 2019, a guy on a motorbike stopped and saw him walking down the road and saw how tall he was, told him he should start playing basketball. He went to one of Luol Deng's camps in South Sudan, then joined the NBA Academy in Senegal. He's made his way to the NBA now after a year at Duke. I really like Kaman. I know a lot of people who were kind of in his camp. In the South Sudanese team, I saw him play a little bit last summer. I'm really high on his potential. I know the final, kind of run of the NCAA tournament wasn't his best showing, but you got to bear in mind at that time they were talking about revoking his visa for America because of all the policy that was going on. And for a
The
kid,
day of
that's yeah on.
his last game, they
On the
talked
day of the
about.
game, and he, I think he had zero rebounds, and everyone's panicking about zero rebounds. But it's like for a kid, that's a lot to deal with because you're watching your future evaporate in front of you, right? So I'm not
Exactly.
judging him on that one performance, right? That's a unique circumstance. I'm very high on his potential at 7 foot 2, can protect the paint, can block shots, can catch lobs on the other end. And that's just at a starting point for him in his career.
All right, so to give our listeners a story, they love stories. Everyone does. Just to tell you
Absolutely.
some bullshit is not fun. BJ Armstrong and I go to IMG Academy a year ago, December of 23, and we go and watch a tournament down there. And all the NBA academies are there, including Africa. And BJ and I walk in the gym. And we watch this kid is playing. We don't know who it is. We don't know one player on their team. And after like watching 40 minutes of this game, BJ and I turned to each other and said, "Wow, they got like three or four NBA players on this incredible team with this, based in Senegal." And I was just absolutely amazed. They were well coached. The kids were tremendous. They were, no matter where the team was from in the States, you'd say, that's a perfectly disciplined team of great young men. I am so big on building a team with character. You can't start with a better character kid than him, Cooper Flagg, Knievel. All these kids from Duke, they're the same in that they're high caliber, high character kids, which is a real art form in what John Shire, the coach there, put together. Malawach would not surprise me if he became an all-star, if he had a 12 to 15 year career. I think he's one of the best draft choices. You know, my friend Matt Ishbia and they've gone through a lot there. And you know what? He deserves something really good to happen to him. It really did. And Brian Gregory, his new GM, is a friend of mine for 40, years. And I really think the world of him. And I'll tell you what, it's really, really important that they got this kid because he is going to really transform the way they play, how hard they play. He's a dream to coach, I think. And I think he was one of the best picks in the whole draft. And that was at number 10, which is encouraging.
Absolutely. Well, we're not going to go through all 30 picks. That's just the top 10. But were there any that stood out to you? Because I want to talk about the 13th
Sure.
pick, Derek
Okay.
Queen.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about first, if I could.
Go ahead.
I think the 11th pick, Cedric Coward, is also a great story because he started, he had, there's, in the States, we evaluate prospects on five stars. A five-star player is Cooper Flagg. A one-star player is someone that goes to the smallest college or doesn't play at all in college. This kid was a zero star
I didn't know
out
that he
of
was a zero-star recruit.
zero star out of
No, that's
Fresno,
wild.
California. Goes to Division III school in the state of Washington. Goes all the way up to play at Washington State. Now he's transferring to Duke. And then all of a sudden he gets a promise at the combine. You're gonna get picked in the first round. And of course he enters into it. I love those kind of stories. And I love the kid, and I love all the French kids that were picked. I think France has really evolved because, frankly, of some of the African kids that have been able to move there and stuff like that. I think it's a great basketball environment now for young people. You know, France, Germany, I mean, the leagues are there progressing so much. But you mentioned Derek Queen, who Dumars picked and traded for.
A wild trade because he's leveraging next year's pick, which could potentially be the number one overall pick. There's no protections on
Could
it.
be. Yeah, no, and I think, yeah, there's a lot of, when you're making trades, there's a lot of things that go into it. And I think they were committed that they wanted to get it done. And I think Joe feels that their team's going to be good. I think Milwaukee, they feel if Giannis stays there, it's going to be good. It could be the first pick if the Pels have a injury year like they had last year. And if Milwaukee gets rid of Giannis. So
But
I used to always say when I was a GM when I was involved in the draft for over 35 years, I would tell my assistant or whatever, protect me from not screwing up because it's very emotional. You have your mindset on getting someone, you got them. And so it's like, you have to put in some risk protections. And so everyone was very critical of the Pelicans that they didn't have those risk protections in. Time will tell.
Well, I think it's kind of establishing culture, right? I saw Derek's press conference when he got to New Orleans. He said, "Listen, all the kids in the draft next year, I beat the hell out of them in high school, so I'm going to be
Yeah.
better than anyone you could pick next year." I like that mentality. Maybe it's delusional, but I like delusional, right?
No,
And I
yeah.
like Joe bringing guys into his building that are going to play with, like Derek Queen now has to play with a chip on his shoulder of the whole world saying, "Oh, I can't believe they traded up for him," so on and so forth. And we talked about the mentality of fears that's coming in before. When you take over an organization and you're trying to build a culture there, these are the kind of guys that you want to get in, the guys that are going to go out there and give everything they have out there on the court.
I coached Joe Dumars for 4 years while he was the best, when he was the best defensive guard in the NBA when we won two championships. of the highest quality of human beings that I've ever been around is Joe Dumars. When Joe became president of the Pistons basketball, I went in to help him run day-to-day operations. He's super smart. The thing that separates him, he's mentally incredibly tough, but he knows what he wants and how to build a team. So I'm always going to stand behind him. The naysayers and people that don't know him, that's fine. But I learned a long time ago, Mo, working with my friend Chuck Daly, he taught me that every decision you make in life, not just in sports, is 50-50 whether you're going to be right. That's the best odds you're going to be. It's not 95 to 5. It's 50-50. And I'm betting on Joe Dumars.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What do you make of the Portland Trailblazers acquiring Yang Hansen at 16?
I knew of him, but I had never seen him. They have scouted him extensively, so they like him.
Yeah, they call him the Chinese Jokic, is what they're saying.
I didn't know Jokic could speak Chinese. But they have great front office people in Portland and really one of the best eyes for talent in the world. And so if they really like him, they saw something in him. You can look at highlight clips. He was very impressive. 20-year-old kid. I spent a lot of time in China over the years, 12 trips there. I've found the Chinese player to be as good as any human being kid in the world. And that's what I always say, Mo, is that I worked with kids from Russia to Yugoslavia when it was to China. And I found that the kids are phenomenal. Our governments are all screwed up. But the kids, the population, the human beings that live there, phenomenal. Same
Absolutely.
thing when I travel to France and Africa, etc. Same deal. So I'm going to bet that these guys know what they're doing. Surprise pick, though.
Yeah,
Surprise pick.
absolutely. Do you know who I think had a really good draft night? Was the Atlanta Hawks. Not only did they do that deal with New Orleans, but I like the kid they picked at 23, Asa Newell. I think he can play really well with Trae Young. What he brings on defense, but also what he can bring on offense, an insane athlete, explosive leaper, can finish those lobs from Trae Young, can get to the hoop himself a little bit. There's some flashes of potential with his jump shot as well. I like that pick at 23 from the Hawks.
Yeah, really good kid, very, very bright. He went to college for 1 year and he already graduated. How about that?
That's crazy.
It's incredible. I think what they're really doing now, and they're really focusing on getting really good people in here and building a team from the bottom up, and they're acquiring good people. And I think that's a really good move. And they have the guy that was the general manager of the New Orleans Pelicans. Bryson Graham is now their head of basketball ops there. So he's done a good job.
Well, our friends over in Sacramento made a move on draft night to get into the first round, which a lot of people didn't think they'd be able to do, and they selected Neat Clifford at 24. If you're a long-time listener of this show, that pick shouldn't surprise you because you've heard how BJ and Scott talk about how much they love prospects who are a little bit older and ready to contribute right away. I love his versatility. He's like another, he talks about Cooper Flagg playing 1 to 4. I think, Clifford could play maybe 2 to 4. With the versatility that he has coming into the league. What do you think of the pick?
We'll throw some flowers at our friend Scott, who I worked with in Detroit and been a dear friend for years. BJ doesn't need flowers. We're going to give them to Scott tonight. BJ's doing a great job, but Scott Perry is one of the best executives in all basketball. It has been for years. But what Scott does is he knows how to build a team. Scott realizes that most of these guys that were selected in the first round were one and done college players. They were between 18 and 20. You're not going to win with those guys right away. They're boys playing with men, but a kid, a 23-year-old, has a better chance. And I thought this was a really good pick, really good kid that can really score the ball. So I think it was a hell of a pickup for them. And they really hedged on the risk by, I think, next year. I think the you know when they. When they give up the pick, I think
It's
it
top
can only be
17
the
protected, and then it
15,
transfers to 2
16
seconds.
percent. Exactly. Really smart move there. So I think it really did a great job. But they also knew, and this is where I wanted to say about the flowers for Scott, he also knew that there were two teams in the draft that were going to trade their first round pick. OKC couldn't take any more. And Brooklyn, most people thought were going to trade at least the last two picks, 20, I think there were 26 and 27. And they kept all five. But those were the teams that you thought were they were people were going to try to get rid of their first. Other teams were, but they just couldn't unload them.
Well, the Brooklyn Nets were so excited to have five first round picks, but not one of their picks moves the needle for me.
I think they did a great job. I really do. I do. I really think they got, the kid Danny Wolf that went 27, I think is one of the most unique players in the draft. I think the kid from Israel is fabulous, Saraf. But I really like the guys that they picked on their squad. I love the kid from France,
Time will
Traore.
tell. Time will
I
tell.
mean,
Time will tell.
yeah, no, but you
But
got to understand, they
another,
have a
go ahead.
long buildup. They got a 4 or 5 year buildup. So that's what they're trying to do, and they keep their cap space. They have the most in the NBA this year, and I don't think they'll spend it. They're going to have problem getting to the, we have a minimum tax.
Salary floor.
Yeah, no, so it's a floor. So you're right.
I really like the another international pick, Hugo Gonzalez, coming out of Real Madrid.
Spain.
He went to my Boston Celtics. Crazy fact about him is he has bigger hands than Kawhi Leonard. He's a high motor player, flies around on defense. I think Joe Mazzulla is going to love having this kid on the roster. He's not staying over in Europe. He's not a stash player. He's coming over right way. I think Joe Mazzulla could turn him into a demon on the defensive side. And then the final two picks of the draft, Liam McNeely to the Phoenix Suns. But did he get traded after that?
He was traded to the Hornets.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he got traded to
So
the Hornets, but
that's where they got their other shooter. They have Knappe on one
a lot
side
of
and
people are
McNeely.
surprised he fell so far down.
Very much so. He's a hell of a player. And plays he's used to playing in big games. He played for a coach that's very demanding, which is also good. So I think and I really like the Clippers pick.
Yannick Kolar-Niedenhauser. See,
I
he
love
got a
it.
lot of attention at the G League Combine, which got him an invite to the NBA Combine. I like what he does. And if I had a pick in the second round, I 100% would have been trying to get him. I was a little bit surprised that the Clippers took him at the 30th pick in the first round. However, when you're talking about drafting for needs, okay, cool. You've got Zubac, who had a great season. Now, when Zubac's not on the floor, you've got a guy who can come in and protect the paint in a similar fashion. I'm a fan of Niedenhauser. I think he can be a very solid NBA player if he's in the right opportunity.
Yeah, they didn't have a pick again till 51, so they weren't going to be able to get him. So there's an old saying, Mo, that if you like a player at 33, don't be afraid to take him even at 23, because if you like him, you like him. And it's like most of the girls that you date, you know what I mean? I might not date her, but you like her, so you date her.
Damn. I'm gonna say
That's
no
all
comment. I'm gonna say no comment, and
we're going to.
I'm moving along, Coach Sir, because
I'm
we're
just,
gonna keep it moving. I'm gonna say something out of pocket.
no,
But
we're just making sure the listeners stay in, tuned in.
I just hope none of them girls are listening. Were there any picks in the second round that caught your eye?
Yeah, I mean the second round gets really hairy. The first several picks are guys that you really want on your squad.
Yeah, like I thought Pender at 32 would have gone to in the first round, coming out of France as well.
Yeah, I mean, and the kid Rashear Fleming, Jay Billis was campaigning for the whole time. He's a first round talent, and the Suns got him too. I mean, the Suns really did
The
well.
Suns had a good draft night. The our friends in Sacramento did well in the second round. They got Maxime Renard, who could have very easily been a first round pick as well. The 7 footer, he's coming out of France as well.
People thought that he was going to go to the Celtics or the Clippers, but I'll tell you another one is the kid that went 34th from Creighton, Ryan Kalkenbrenner. This guy, he's ready to go right now in the NBA. He'll be a very good player for them, and I think they knew that's who they were going to take. I think he comes in, and I wouldn't be even surprised if he started or played a ton.
I will end it with my favorite pick of the evening. My very own Boston Celtics acquired a player from the UK. That's right. Amari Williams from Nottingham, England. He went to Drexel, then he transferred to Kentucky. I'll tell you this right now, he went to the States at 18. Obviously, the development of basketball here is not as strong as maybe in France or in America itself. So he's only going to get better now he's in professional coaching systems and so on. But there are some things you can't teach. And a big with the ability to pass the ball in the way that he can. And the Celtics are worried about losing Luke Kornet. And I'm not saying he's going to come in and immediately replace Luke Kornet, but his playmaking ability, his defensive ability, and his drive to get better. I was so happy with that pick of 46.
Yeah, and he's a guy that'll get what we call a two-way contract, but he'll play with their G League team in Maine, and he'll go through training camp with them, practice with them a lot. But I think he's one of the best passing big men in all of college basketball this past year, and plays with great joy, and that's what I also like about him. But he had a huge impact on the Kentucky program in his 1 year there. And I was happy for him too, because he really is. There were a lot of good players that were selected in the second round. Will Richards and Elijah Martin from Florida, the national champions, got picked. And then another guy that I thought really was a terrific player, was Kobe Brea from Kentucky, a great, great shooter. I just think there's so many. Cam Jones from
This is one
Marquette,
of the best second rounds I've seen.
Chaz Lanier from Tennessee, just guys that are. Chaz Lanier has the ability to be one of the best shooters in the NBA. He's just got to get open. So if, with the team that he goes to, the Pistons, a guy playing with, with the
Well,
guard
Malik
play that
Beasley
they
ain't gonna be
have.
there to take those shots anymore,
Oh, yeah, don't say that. Let's
so.
pray for him.
I mean,
And a high pick that we didn't expect. I thought he'd go at the bottom of the second round. Was many people's college player of the year, Jahna Broome, from Auburn, was the 35th pick by your Sixers.
not my Sixers, someone's
And
Sixers, not mine.
I think he was. I think it's actually a pretty good team for him.
Well, that's the NBA draft. Coach, sir, appreciate the insights and the breakdowns. And we'll be back breaking down the trades and whatnot happens in the next episode. So make sure you subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get it from. And as always, I've told you guys a bunch of times before, but if you haven't checked out the Coaching You podcast and if you haven't checked out the Coaching You app, I'm telling you, you are missing out. If you want to develop your basketball knowledge this summer, obviously you come to this podcast, rock out with us, but you have to be on the Coaching You app where you can get it. You can see the logo that Coach Sir is sporting on his t-shirt so elegantly right now. But download the Coaching You app. You will increase your basketball knowledge like never before.
Mo, it's as warm today in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, as it is in beautiful London, England.
Bruh, I am absolutely melting whilst we do, because I can't even have the fan on during the podcast because then it will make
Sure.
noise. No AC in the houses in the UK. The houses are designed to keep the heat in. So Americans online, they love to have this joke like, oh, it's only 78 degrees. It's only 85 degrees. It's not even hot. I'm like, brother, you come here and you try it. Because I go all around. I go to LA, I go to Vegas, I go wherever in the States. I feel the heat. It ain't like the UK heat. This is like being trapped in a greenhouse. What you know about that? The heat comes in, never goes out. There's no ocean breeze. There's no nothing. It's just sweat. That's it. It's just sweat.
Well, hopefully you guys got your tariff situation straightened out and you can
Oh,
come visit the US now.
man. Listen, I'm willing to visit anywhere that's got AC. Anyone in the world, you just let me know. I'm gonna be
Well,
there. Better.
come and you will see the best air conditioning in the world in the United
I may
States.
do, but I might have to take a little trip to Ibiza first before we get there. I've got to enjoy some of the off season.
I
I've got to have a
agree.
little bit of enjoyment. So,
Well, before you have total enjoyment, let's do a show tomorrow and then you
oh,
can go on vacation.
absolutely, absolutely. Because apparently there's going to be some trades of note happening. I don't
Yeah,
know.
I think we'll see some nice movement tonight. We'll have a good show out of it.
I'm very excited to see what happens, and we'll be back. Appreciate it as always, Coach. And until next time, get buckets.